You are now listening to Cultivating the Masses. My name is Tamilin.
From a choir singer in a small town in Perlis to producing her own album, Stemmeline has been working on her singing career for more than 10 years now to achieve her dream. She has been writing her own song ever since she was 12 years old. This episode, we dug deep into some of her worst to best moments in her entire career. Hi, this is Bradley, and welcome to another episode of Cultivating the Masses. Without further ado, let's get to it. All right, hello and welcome to the studio, Jocelyn.
Hello.
Jo, thank you for joining us in the show today. I appreciate your time and effort for coming over. It's just that, you know, we've been working with each other for nearly a year now, surprisingly, right?
Yes, that's true.
And I've been hearing a lot of interesting things about you as well as your career on the other side, right? So Let us talk about that first. But before we get into that, let's get to know you more on a personal level. Like, where did you came from? How was your childhood like? How did you grow up? You know, like, what was your upbringing? So yeah, let our listeners know more about that.
Okay, I come from Perlis.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, some Malaysians don't know where it is.
Tell me about it. I'm from Sarawak. Yeah. Goddammit.
It's just a general thing. Like, if I say I'm from Perlis and people would assume that I'm from Perak. Perlis is a small town in Perak, something like that. I grew up in a sugarcane plantation.
Okay, that I never know.
Yes, so monkeys are my childhood friends. And snakes are my brothers and sisters. It's true.
Right.
So you can imagine me growing up. So Perlis is so small that we don't have cinemas, shopping malls. So everything is mostly outdoor activities and nature driven, I would say. Yeah, so not knowing a lot about
the city life
or advanced technology, to say. That's how I got into music. At a very young age.
How young are we talking about?
I wrote my first song when I was 12.
12. All right. Wonder what was it about?
I was a very devoted Christian. Right. So definitely about my faith.
Yeah.
And then after that, my first official performance, my own written song, is when I was 15.
Okay.
When you start joining clubs and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And that really like shaped me to who I am today.
Right.
Yeah. So I came to KL when I was... this 2010. Not gonna disclose how old I was.
All right, 2010. All right, okay.
So I studied in University of Malaya. I did my degree in performing arts, specifically acting, theater acting.
Mm-hmm.
And that also helped me along the way with my passion for arts in general. And also I joined a very big songwriting club in UM. I don't know how to say this in English. It's called Yao Lan Shou.
What does that mean?
It's the hand of the cradle.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If I want to translate it.
Okay.
And so that was the one that really sparked my journey in discovering music, being a songwriter. Because it's very big in the Chinese scene. Producers scout for new talent if they come and watch our showcase.
Right.
And I was offered... I mean, I had experience with like Universal Music. And Warner, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, Warner, yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I was
During your senior years? Or?
Yeah. Mm, I think it was 2012.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was given an opportunity to songwrite and all that. But I've always wanted to be my own solo artist.
Right.
So I never took up all of those. Mm. And then, singing in bars helped me a lot.
Oh, you used to perform in Station One, right?
Station One? Yes, and then something like Beer Factory, but I forgot the name of that franchise.
Yeah.
And I was singing weddings. Everything from, you know, back in the days till now had made me,
But I want to know like your first exposure to music, right? When did you learn how to sing? Was it when you were younger than 12? When you first discover that singing is something that you have, you know, certain things like your talents, you just know it when you have it.
I think I would say accumulatively, it's the whole journey until now. I love singing. I mean, I'm very involved in church. So you start in choir, in kids choir and all those kind of stuff. But I realized I can harmonize very well unknowingly when I was, I think I was 12. Or 10, I don't remember, when my mom bought me Jay Chou's album.
Okay.
Okay, I grew up in a family where my mom is a Mandarin teacher and my dad is a banana.
Okay.
So
right.
I grew up speaking English.
Wait, up till this day, your dad doesn't speak Mandarin or?
He can, but he's not very good.
一点一点啊。一点一点。
He can't really write well. Right. He can speak the, what, to get by lah.
Oh,
you know?
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, but like your instrument, the first, I know you're a very good, what do you call those, piano, a keyboard player, and also guitar. But when, what was the first instrument that you pick up and when did you pick that up?
Piano, definitely classical piano when I was 7, I think. So I did the whole grade stuff.
Right. But you actually learned, the like yes. you go to class and learn all of this.
Yeah, but I didn't finish my grade 8.
Oh, okay. But yeah. how was that experience like for you? Were you really young at the time?
Yeah, what motivates me was maybe I was just really inclined in playing music because my parents both played the guitar. Back to church life, you have to play some sort of pop piano-ish to suit the singing.
Mm.
So you can't apply classical playing. So that's where I learned how to play pop style.
Okay.
And I self-discovered. Again, Perlis is very chill. So right. you have a lot of time to discover skills.
Right.
Yeah, that's where I learned pop piano. All by myself.
Mm-hmm.
There was no tutor or YouTube tutorial.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I learned everything by myself.
I mean, there was no source at all, like for you to learn?
Books.
Books,
like
wow.
Like piano books.
What year was this?
Yeah, God damn. Now you know.
Holy shit, you worked
what
really hard,
I'm
huh?
From.
Oh my God, Jo.
Yeah. And guitar is self-taught as well when I was 15. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so now that you moved to Cal around 2010, you mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that instantly right after your graduation from high school? Or did you delay a certain year, finally you made the decision? Or is it after SPM, you get the result, you move right away?
Oh, okay. So I've always wanted to study in States.
Okay.
Back in the days. And my dad told me that, okay, if you want to go to States, you have to take up STPM. So I took it on.
So you took STPM. Okay.
Yeah, that's why high school I did STPM. I got my SAT done. I got a scholarship to US. But at the very last minute, my dad said he couldn't afford it.
Oh, so you got the scholarship.
I got a scholarship in directing and filming.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then again, because of the unfortunate case that your dad couldn't afford it, you weren't able. Oh, man.
So I had only one choice, which is local U. So that's why I chose performing arts, which is the closest to what I want.
Which is
directing and filming back then.
Wow. Yeah, damn. I guess it's like a blessing in disguise as well, maybe, right?
Yeah. Sometimes I think about it. I might hold grudges, but you know, like I wouldn't be Stamilin.
Yeah. Today. Wouldn't be a thing today. You know, you might be on a different platform. You might have a different career entirely.
Yeah. I might not build the music.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Like they say, you know, there's no point in dwelling in the past, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Write it on the cup, please.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that on Monday.
Right. So, okay. So now that we're at this timeline where you're in university, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were you the outgoing person as soon as you arrived to uni? You wanted to register for all this art class and all of that. Or was it part of the program of that particular course that you signed up with?
Okay. In Chinese, we have, in Hokkien, we have this saying that your butt is not round shape, but a sharp triangle, means you cannot sit still. That is me.
Why does every Chinese word, when it's directly translated, it sounds very off? But then again, you get the point, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And they are so on point.
Yep, yep. So anyway, you were saying about
I'm very active. I'm very extroverted when I was younger. And I like to join everything and anything. It came to a point where music was my degree and then performing arts was like my sub, like my minor.
It's your side hustle.
Yeah. It became that way. I know it's not very healthy, but that's how active I was.
Mm.
Yeah, in everything. I was in debate club even.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So there was debate club, there was theater.
Theater.
And then what else?
The songwriting.
Songwriting.
The bar singing.
Bar singing.
The
bar singing was under the uni as well?
No, it was
It was your own thing.
Job.
Oh, okay. And then?
And then I was in photography.
Okay.
And I was in, what else I was in?
My God, that's a lot of things.
I think I at one point I was even doing like a, I don't know how to say perniagaan, like business.
Entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneurship, where you have to, you know, set up stalls and sell
right,
stuff.
Right.
And theatre itself is very busy. So I was also involved with external theatre groups.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's called ACX Production.
Okay.
So I was involved with other theatre groups outside. I was doing performance outside as well.
Oh, okay. So that has nothing to do with your uni and all that. So what about Stemlin? When did that came about? Was it when the moment you start the bar singing, the Stemlin idea was already there? Or was it something you like ponder on, like, what's a good name? I mean, Jocelyn.
Have you ever wonder why Stemlin?
I mean, I get the ILY. It's probably I love you something something. But...
No!
I don't know. Okay, tell me about the history of the name Stemlin.
I get that a lot. Like, people ask me, what is Stemlin? Because if you Google, there's only one Stemlin.
Right. That's a pretty good thing to have, you know?
I know this sounds a bit funny, but it's my friendster's name.
Okay.
If you ever use Friendster.
Yeah, of course, of course. I think I did.
Okay, so...
But how did that came about, though?
Okay, I was 13 years old.
All right.
And I was on a ferry to Langkawi, and my cousin asked me, if you were to be an artist, what would you name yourself? And then we started brainstorming that in the ferry. So I had three idols back then. I was 13. Okay. Stephanie's son.
Okay.
Is a very famous singer in the Chinese scene, and she's really skinny.
Okay.
And then Sammy Cheng is a very famous actress from Hong Kong. That's the Mi.
Okay.
And the Lin is Jolene Chai, who is a very good dancer / artist back then.
Wow. Yeah.
So I combined them as an abbreviation.
Stemlin.
Stemlin. And because I wanted to be an artist as all-rounder.
Wow. I mean, it's pretty catchy, you know, the name. It just goes well with Jocelyn Stemlin. Tahan. I like that. You know, it sounds very, it sips in very nicely.
Yeah,
you know?
It rhymes and it has three.
I mean, you're lucky to have Stemlin as your Facebook name. If I were an artist and my name would be as my Facebook friendster's name, it would be Skater Boy.
Oh no! With the
Skater
number 8.
Boy 95.
SK8CER.
Hey, don't judge me. If Tekashi69 can do it, I can do it too. Right, so yeah, interesting name.
Yeah, I decided to go with that because I couldn't think of another stage name. I think it stuck with me for so long. So I decided to just go with
That's good. Yeah. I mean, have you always been telling people that story about like how that name came about? Or you have a short version of it?
Like,
it's just catchy name. So I just went with that. Something like that.
I do explain it when they ask. Because somewhat I felt a bit ashamed because I felt it's such a kiddie idea. But then again, I'm not ashamed.
No, actually, I don't think it is. I mean, it's one hell of a way to come up with a name. You know, sometimes when people just go like, okay, let's name a brand. Let's name a product. People just go like, okay, what do we call this thing? You know, like it's so hard to brainstorm that. I mean, I have been like up and about Broke Boys as a brand as well, right? And we tried so hard just thinking about to come up with a name. And I think you just gave a new approach to that, you know? Yeah. All right, so that bar singing, I'm really interested to know about that part because you see, like, I believe that is something you do at night, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was during your studying days and after class and all of that, after your club activities, you would go to the bar and just prepare and just start singing and all that?
Yeah. Exactly.
And how long did you do that for?
Ever since my first year until... I did... I think I stopped doing it 2 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah. So that was quite some time. I think 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I cut down to mostly event and wedding singing. But that really took a toll on me. Mm-hmm. Hence, the last 2 years, I did not take any gigs from that. But it's really good income, I must say.
Wow. 8 years of going to bars and sing.
Yes. It was harsh, but it taught me so much about singing alone.
I mean, you see, that's the thing that I myself like to highlight as well in the show is that as fancy as things goes on in someone's life, right, you might never know the kind of things that would actually go for, like the extra miles to actually make it work, you know? Mm-hmm. Like 8 years. I was only like fucking 16 at the time, probably. Oh my God, you know, like, oh,
Wow. The numbers are adding up.
Nah, I'm not too worried about that.
I'm okay.
Yeah, I mean, but speaking of which, I wanted to ask you a question just now, but I somehow let it pass through my mind.
I can write a book about all my bar singing experience. Mm. The good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah. Name me some of the bad experiences that you have during those performing days in bars and all that, in restaurants maybe.
I think nothing can top being harassed.
Oh, that happens.
Yeah, nothing can top that. But mm-hmm. I'm lucky that it wasn't that serious that it damaged me.
Right.
But it made me very aware of my surroundings right. and people that I get too close with.
Right.
Especially when you're in bars, people get drunk.
Right.
That's dangerous.
Right. Can you like tell us, if you don't mind, maybe you could share with us what was the incident like? You
yeah,
know?
Sure. Yeah. So I think it was my second year singing or first year singing. The owner of the bar got kind of drunk. And
the owner?
Yeah, the owner. Mm. And he started, you know, walking up to the stage, took our mic and started singing karaoke. Mm. And then he was so happy, he invited us for a drink. And he started touching my hands and said, "You have very nice pianist hands," and rubbing all over my hands and making me drink, making me sit very close to him, despite knowing that my then boyfriend was actually not too far away from me.
Right.
So it was very bold of him. But I'm very lucky that I have very good partners, singing partners with me, who are male. They immediately recognized that and they just asked me to go home. But I definitely, like, my hands were touched really la.
Right.
And I didn't know what was happening. I wasn't very aware. I was just being really naive.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't comfortable. And right. after that, we talked about it. Only I realized that it is somewhat... It is
and did you continue performing on that particular bar?
I did.
After that incident?
Yes, I did.
No confrontational like moment was done with him or...
Because this was 10 years ago, right. there was not like all this Me Too awareness
right,
and all
right.
that. I don't really know that, oh, I can actually stand up for myself
right.
because I just want to keep singing,
right.
right? And that's how dangerous it is, this whole industry, if you look at it at a bigger scale.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you see, I wouldn't want to point fingers, but that are also some of the things that you have to go through sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes you're not even aware of what you might get yourself into, you see?
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that it's that way, but our world is filled with so many multiple characters and you just don't know who the fuck you're messing with sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But, okay, enough of the gloomy shit, all right? So, you've told us about, like, that was one of the worst experiences. What was one of the best experiences during that particular 8 year?
One of the best memories and experience is we always have, you know, we have regulars that like you.
Right, they support
and,
you. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was me and these two guys. We were really, really good together.
Mm.
We were like the perfect combo. And we had two ladies who were our regulars every week.
Mm.
And after, I think, last year, we haven't met these regulars for a long time, right?
Right.
She Facebook messaged us. And she's getting married and she wants specifically three of us to sing for
wow.
her wedding. Yeah.
Wow.
That was so nice.
Nice.
But then because of the lockdown and everything.
Oh, that was quite recent.
It's very recent.
Oh.
Yeah. So we sort of like reunite and we get to sing for our favorite regular.
Right.
That is
right.
the fun.
And this was your regular that goes all the way from how many years ago?
I think it was like 3 years, 2 to 3 years maybe.
Customer service goes a long way, huh?
Cannot run away from that.
Right. Customer service goes a long way, specifically when you're like working in that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's what I really like about the customer service industry is that when you really, really put your effort for your customers,
mm-hmm.
your customers would end up giving
yeah.
their best for you as well, yeah. you know, because they notice the talent, they notice how great of a person you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now let's talk about your career as Tamlin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you stand now? What are you up to and all of that? So let's start with how many albums have you produced?
I don't have an album.
Okay.
It's ongoing. Since 2018, we started. I worked with this producer called Day Kim.
Mm-hmm.
And we were working on it for a year plus. But unfortunately, he's back to Korea to serve
right.
national service.
Right.
So literally stuck at customs.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And right. it's just harder to work back and forth
mm.
with everything, like fully online.
Mm.
And he has national service. So
right.
it does take...
it still prevents that communication from happening.
Yes,
yeah.
it takes a longer time to communicate.
Mm.
So that is ongoing. But I'm looking to release it in 2020 and it's going there.
All right.
End of this year. I don't think I would want to delay it furthermore. Mm. And this album really speaks for 2020.
Right. Okay, yeah. Cool. How long did it took you to like probably write each and every single song that you have on that? Because I remember there was one time we were hanging out and you said every song that you make must have a significant amount of relation or meaning to you specifically, right?
Yeah.
So how long did that take you? Was it like every day, like, oh, today I just found out that I'm lactose intolerant. Let's make a song about being lactose intolerant. Or was it like, I don't know, you tell me, you know?
Okay. Mostly when I write a song, it's pretty fast. I can finish it in a day, but I would say maybe I work 8 hours straight. I was writing every weekend because that's the only time we can have time in the studio. So, but there's one particular song called Chinese Food.
Yeah.
That took me probably 3 to 4 weeks to finish. Like revisiting all the time and just
rewrite.
I think that was the hardest song I've ever written. The rest were usually typically 2 days.
Right. Yeah. Can you tell our listeners? I mean, I know the story behind Chinese Food.
Yeah.
But could you tell them why the song is titled Chinese Food?
Okay. So the meaning, actually the real meaning about Chinese, the song Chinese Food is just telling myself to finish the album as fast as you can. And that don't believe in dreams. Because if you don't act on it, it'll always be a dream only. And it's basically just to finish the album.
Right.
And why Chinese Food? Is because we've been writing like 8 hours long and all that kind of stuff. And everyone in the studio, I was in Zhongshan Building, said, hey, you want to go have ramen? Would you like to join us? And ramen is my weakness. So I said to my producer, I said, hey, Dave, can we please go have ramen?
All right.
And he said, no, you have to finish your album no matter what. No more delaying.
All right.
And I thought like all I need was comfort at that time. And Chinese food was my comfort.
Right.
It's my comfort food.
That's hence the name.
Chinese food.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting you have that kind of like view on it. Imagine if I were to write a song, right? And my comfort zone is probably, I don't know, Athena, my cat. And just call my song called Athena.
At least it's a nice name. At least it's not like Nasi Kandar or something.
Right, but now you've been doing music for how many years exactly? 10?
As far as I can remember, the day I told myself that I want to be a singer or a songwriter was 15 years ago. And that's where I first did my performance and my first song.
All right.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you've learned along the way? It doesn't matter, positive, negative. Just list us some. You know, I believe a lot of our listeners out there would really want to sing as well. You know, it'll be great to have someone who have the experience as yours to tell them, expect this. Do not expect this.
I would say...
Let me get this straight. Have you ever wrote a song for someone that is not yourself? You've done that before.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, just tell us.
But it wasn't released either. It was performed in public, but it wasn't released. Yeah. I did a few collaborations. There's this beatboxer called A Beat C.
Okay.
A single. I also wrote a song for Against Lab, the apparel.
Mm-hmm.
Local apparel.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was some collabs lah. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, just share with us like all of these things that you've experienced, you know?
I think if anyone wants to be an aspiring artist in general, basic skills is so important.
Such as?
We're talking about music, I know everyone hates this, but theory, music theory.
Okay.
Because I hated music theory when I was learning it.
No.
Yes.
Let's not get there.
It applies. I'm sorry, Bryla. You need that. Because you know why? Because if you only know, like, very simple, right? If someone wants to learn the guitar and they say, I like this song from Ed Sheeran. Just teach me that song. I don't want to know anything else, the theory and all that.
Right.
I just want to know how to play it.
Mm.
Yes, I can teach you, but you'll forever just learn how to play that song.
Right.
And maybe other songs that had the same chord progression.
Right.
If you know theory, you know the formula of making music, you can just shape it whatever you like it to be.
Right.
And it's like everything is at your fingertips. You are basically, you get a blank canvas, you have the colors, you can just paint whatever you like.
Right.
Instead of people drawing up the lines and just ask you the color to fill in the blanks.
And where did you learn this music theory?
When I was taking classical piano. But I only know how to apply those fully when I started writing music.
When you're starting to practice it.
Yes. I didn't know I was actually applying it. For example, like key signatures and knowing what key has what how many sharps, how many flats, you know.
Right.
Bar singing helped me so much because you have to improvise. Sometimes singers will just come out and say, I can't sing this song in original key C sharp. I need to sing this song in E major. Immediately, you know how to improvise and you can improvise just like that.
Right.
Because you have the formula. You know which is the root note, how many black keys there are in E major. That's four, you know.
Right.
And you can just improvise on the spot without hesitation. And you can just play as if like it's the original.
Yeah, I think like, you see, that's the thing. Like when you say all this theory shit, right? Like for me, like I sing, right? But I don't know these theories, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you've taught me how to sing before. You told me this, that, this, that. I'm like, Joe, can't I just feel it?
Okay.
I want to feel it.
Let me give you an example. For example, you only know how to say, you only learn the word happy. But there's many other words that describe different types of happiness.
Right.
So learning music theory or the basic is basically learning vocabulary.
Right.
Yeah. So once you have all this, your creativity is endless.
Right.
Because you have so many tools in your hand. That's why, if whether it's producers, some people say like, oh, nowadays everything is just a laptop and I can just, you know, do music however I want because it's so digital now.
Mm.
But it's still the same. You cannot be a good producer if you don't have all those knowledge with it.
Right.
Because you are limited.
Mm.
Yeah. So I would say if at least know some basic music theory and different genres is very important. I've been practicing, like I listen to all sorts of genres and learn from all of them.
Mm.
That's why pop music nowadays are very mixed.
Right.
There's no, like, you know, you have that moment where like, what genre is this song?
Right.
And you, some will say like, oh, this is this plus this plus this.
Yeah.
That's why nowadays it's very creative.
Right. Yeah. They just mix around.
And versatile.
Speaking of genre, right, Joe? Like, your music is definitely one of a kind. It's, I feel like it's very one of a kind.
Thank you.
Because I'm a huge pop listener myself.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is mainstream on the radio, I listen to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really skew too much into the specific genre that makes me feel special and all that. Whatever mainstream shit there is, bring it on, bro. We'll sing it with you.
Right? I can tell that on your cafe playlist.
Yeah, definitely. Like, so I want to know, what's yours? What do you call your specific genre?
If I really need to scale it down, I would say it's electronic and pop.
Well, how did that came about? What made you want to do this specific music? Was there a point in time where you wanted to change that specific genre? Or you've always wanted to go with this and this only?
I never set any genres. I would like to be like versatile in a way. And I like,
so, Joe, let's say if you wanted to do pop punk, you tell me you're going to do it.
Sure, bring it on. I need band members first.
Let's
honestly
go.
I used to have a J-rock band.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. You told me about this one, right? Yeah. And you also got, if I'm not mistaken, you told me, tell us about the experience where the K-pop industry came to Malaysia to recruit and you actually auditioned for it. Tell us about that.
Oh God. I used to be a massive K-pop fan. I would even,
Used to be. I still am.
I think I'm a selective K-pop fan now. I would like, there are some nice producers in K-pop. Anyways, I was a big K-pop fan and my goal was just to live, eat, breathe Korean-ness,
right?
So Rain,
that's the dream.
You remember Rain?
Right.
Sexy guy.
Yeah.
Came to Malaysia and he had a concert and then they have a talent scout. So back then, there's not a lot of online stuff. So they did the manual way lah.
Mm.
So I read it. I did the old school way, okay? I was in Perlis, this 17 years old girl. Mm. I saw on the Chinese newspaper, small column, Rain's manager coming to Malaysia, scouting for the next Rain.
Wow.
Yeah. Then I was like, whoa, I need this.
Right.
So I bought a bus ticket, 8 hours, right, to KL.
Right.
And I went to Mines Wonderland for the audition. I sang in Korean. I danced to K-pop music video.
Right.
Yeah.
I would want to see that.
Oh, gosh. No.
Why not? Come on, Joe.
No. I even learned Korean just because I love K-pop so much. I can read and write.
Right.
Right. but that's just a phase.
So when you went for the audition, right, was there like a lot of people that participated? Was there like a long line?
Yes.
How many were selected? It was not disclosed?
Well, the final results that I know that none of the Malaysian got it.
They did more than just Malaysia, right?
Southeast Asia. Ah. Yeah. And I know some of them got shortlisted. So they actually separate you to rooms, like, you know, reality TV shows.
Right.
And then they tell you, you guys are not selected to the next round. And I'll be like, oh. Right. But it was an eye-opening experience for me, knowing that I came from Belize. I don't have much resources. Mm. Even if you say like fashion wise, I only wore like a t-shirt and a camo jeans.
Right.
When I went there, you have like other kids with like moms putting on their makeup and giving them water, fanning them.
Right.
Yeah. So, and they are so like, it's more than what I know, you know, new.
You see, like, that's the thing. Like, I myself, right, if I were to put myself in your shoe in a particular situation, I was, even up till now, I would have just bailed. Because as much as a confident person as I am, right, sometimes I do have this fear of not being, I won't be able to compete with people who present themselves better, who can definitely do it better, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, if I were to go to a dance competition, I know I can dance, but if I see someone with like super legit ass dance move, I get very intimidated.
Yeah.
I'll tell myself, why bother trying sometimes, you know? But then again, like, you managed to still go on. What was going on in your mind at that particular time?
I think it was just the goal of getting the record deal. I was, my eyes were set on the goal.
So it doesn't matter who the fuck they are. You just wanted to go for it.
Definitely, I was like you. I was like self-conscious. I know that I'm nothing near these KL kids. Sorry, all the KL people. But I don't have a mom manager, okay?
Right.
No one does my makeup.
Right.
But I just thought to myself, like, you know what? I've practiced and I've come a long way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it. Yeah. No matter what. Yeah. Cannot bail.
Yeah.
So I guess like Chinese, we put in so much money already.
Yeah.
So we have to do it.
Right. That's interesting though. Like, I can't really think of a question that is more important than this. Like, I really like to dig in deep into the darker stuff that is going on.
Sure.
You know? Like, I really want to know like the life of being in entertainment. What are some of the challenges? What are some of the downfall of it, if you might say that way. I really want to know from your side, have you ever experienced, apart from the harassment, of course, we're over that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But was there some issues with the finance, or was there some issue with the production or any of that? Or did your personal life disrupted all this? Did your family matter disrupted the whole thing? Like, you know, I want to get to the real deal of that. Because we don't want to be telling people sweet lies, you know?
Definitely.
We want to tell them the harsh truth.
Yeah.
That, hey, you better be expecting all this tough shit coming right at your face, you know?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us that? Because I do believe, from what I've been hearing from you, Joe, I think I've heard a lot of stories that were quite tough for you, you know? Was there moments where you just feel like breaking down and just giving up with this whole thing?
Already broke down. Yeah.
Hey, come on, Joe. Don't give up just yet.
I mean, there's definitely times where I have to cry, you know, because it's your passion, right?
Right.
And I wanted to do this more than anything else. I wish I wouldn't have to do a full-time job. Of course, no.
Right.
I think whatever you just said, definitely I had a part of those. All those dark moments have appeared in like family, relationship. So for me, one darker side, I would say, was my faith and my family, because these two are very close tied.
Yeah.
My parents are very strong Christians. Hence, I grew up not knowing what is Harry Potter, what is Pokemon. A lot of things are filtered off my childhood because they wanted to protect me from too much
influence. Yeah.
I do not blame them. Parents only want the best for you, and they want to protect their kids.
Definitely, 100%.
Yeah. So there are a lot of things that I do not know, and having to experience those stuff at an older age makes me
Feel a bit left out?
Left out or indifferent to many things. And right. unaware. That's why the harassment thing is, I was so naive.
You thought it was normal.
I thought it was just being friendly. Right. You know, my world was rainbows and colors, right? I didn't know humans can be that bad.
Right.
Yeah. So I made a decision to leave my faith 5 years ago, which is Christianity.
Right.
Because it was limiting how I write songs. And when I write songs, I write my life, my views and all that. And it's always been trying to keep a positive message, always trying to be positive, always trying to spread a certain message, if you get what I mean.
Right.
And there's a deep desire in me that I want to experience things that were told it was bad.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to say the examples, I guess you understand where I'm coming from. Yeah.
Like you want to have that sort of rebel in you, you know, just go out at it. Yeah.
Example was I started smoking cigarettes because I was depressed.
Right.
And when I felt, oh, this is a way for me to escape.
Right.
Yeah. And when my family found out, I was almost disowned. It was that bad. I was almost disowned. My friends were blamed for everything, for the bad influence, and all the TV shows that I watched was also bad influence that made me have cigarettes. And I always say sorry. There's always this stigma from my family members to me back then.
Right.
And hence why my album is going to be called Sorry Machine, because I'm tired of saying sorry.
Right.
Yeah. And in my album, there are a lot of family issues in it that ties down to religion.
But like your relationship with your family right now, are they like aware of what you're feeling internally or?
Honestly, I'm not very sure, but they've definitely accepted a lot of stuff from me.
Right.
And I think it has gone better, definitely.
When you said you left your religious faith, right, did they acknowledge the fact that you decided to not attach yourself with any religious belief anymore or?
Not formally acknowledging it, but they knew and they've been trying to get me back. Actually, I still believe in the teachings. Right. It's just that I don't do the
practices.
I don't go every Sunday, but I still believe.
But that's at the end of the day, it's like what you said, it's your own personal choice, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah. Wow, that got me.
Because my whole identity was tied down to being this good Christian girl.
Yeah. And nothing wrong with that, definitely, right?
It's so just when that. 5 years ago, I decided to leave that faith for a while to be open-minded, lost my sense of identity.
Right.
I had to rediscover everything about myself. Right. So that was quite a journey, to be honest. But it allowed me to write a lot of songs I felt it was amazing, which I really want to share with everyone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Also, you mentioned along the way that you were really, really depressed.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
So after the family came down to my relationship, I was almost engaged to my then boyfriend. Mm. Our priority was to save up money and get married, right? Mm. And being the good housewife and all that. But I realized I have neglected music. I didn't write music for 2 years straight.
At that point of time. At that point.
Right before I left my faith. Mm. So I had to make a decision where I want to pursue what I want or what we want.
Right.
So I broke off the relationship.
Wow.
The so-called engagement. I almost got engaged. Yeah.
That must have taken a lot of mental power, emotional power to just go through and say, all right, what I want matters more than this, you know?
Yeah. Because I had an opportunity to work a lot on my music, but it will take up a lot of my time.
Yeah.
And I'm already working full time. So I had to make a choice.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe, you're a pretty tough lady. Do you know that?
Thank you. Yeah. I don't even know why I'm still alive.
Yeah. Hey, don't say that. Like, if I were to put myself in your shoe, I would have probably gone about my day just constantly like, what is going on, man? You know, just pretty stuck and stifled with all this.
I think you just need to give yourself time to go, like, just untie the knots one by one instead of thinking, how am I going to untie 10 knots with 10 fingers?
Mm.
I did not know that I was doing that, but throughout the years, I'm very blessed with good friends around me that encourage me.
Do you think that having good friends, good support system will allow you to expand that spectrum, if you might say it away, of pursuing for what you want. You know, because there's this saying that says, you are who you surround yourself with, you know.
That's a Chinese saying for that too.
Really? But the direct translation is like that as well?
Yeah.
Right. So tell us about how that your support system was really helping you to go through some of this rough time.
I think the most crucial period was when I broke off the engagement and my family relationship went down the spiral. I think friends that were around me were very honest, brutally honest with me when I did the wrong choice or whatever.
Right.
But they stuck around. They were they make sure that they're always there for me.
Right.
So these are close friends that make me feel like life is still worth moving on.
Is this who I think it is?
No, yeah. I mean, until now, yes, he's part of it. Yeah, he's part of the numbers.
Right.
Then there's also the music friends where, I don't know, like sometimes the community, especially indie music or the underground scene, everyone's really tight and they support each other. So if, whether it's like, oh, let me feature you in my song to help you out, or like how Against Lab happened because he's a friend. He said like, do you want to feature in my... All these opportunities. And the most common one is like, hey, I'm having a gig. You want to be one of the lineup?
Right.
And despite how bad I was back then, like pitchy or stage fright and all that kind of stuff, they always have me coming back. So I want to shout out to Life Fact.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is it? What is it called?
Life Fact.
I've always been the curve, but I've never seen...
It's not the curve. It's where... It's somewhere in Damansara.
Right. Okay,
it's a
lighthouse. Okay.
And it's ran by a few guys who were from the punk rock scene.
Ooh.
Or the post rock scene.
All right.
Yeah. So they gave me my first ever gig in KL up till now.
Oh, up till now.
Yeah, despite
how
amateurish I was, they supported me until now. Always give me like a chance to perform. And they will let me, they will have discussion and they'll say like, oh, did they use... This time you look much more stable, yeah? You improve a lot.
Hey, what is that? You look more stable.
I really owe up to them. Right, they are the one that gave me the chance to perform songs that I love, songs that I've written, and always coming back with opportunities.
Right. Yeah. So I want to know, like, throughout this whole year, right, what would be one of the biggest achievements that you have ever achieved in throughout your whole career? If you don't mind sharing. If I'm not mistaken, you did an opening for, was it Good Vibes? Was it you?
Oh, I was a backup singer for Gene Hackman in Good Vibes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Because I was involved in his EP production.
Right.
I was singing the choruses, I think. And I was present during the whole process.
Right.
So he said, okay, Good Vibes, you want to be my backup singer?
Nice.
I'm like, sure.
Nice.
Singing for Gene Hackman, sure. Right. Yeah,
that guy actually stopped producing music for now, right?
He's now a label boss, I would say. Yeah.
I mean, he's a father too, so try to respect that as well. You know, funny, he came to the cafe a couple of times and I said, hey man, when is our wrap-up video coming up? Oh, sorry dude, I'm sorry to disappoint you guys. He's such a humble man himself too, you know?
Yeah.
Like he really likes to...
I think he wrap up the wrap-up.
Right? Yeah. Nice. You know what? I actually want to have him on the show just to know more about him, you know? But yeah, we'll see that opportunity.
I did one of his wrap-up video shoot. I produced it. I showed you before.
Oh, yeah. Is it 2018 or 17?
17,
yeah. So going back to that, like what was your biggest achievement as Tamilin?
I think I'll make it happen, the album when I release it. It will be the biggest achievement of all time.
Right.
Because I've been dragging it for way too long.
Mm.
Yeah. I did at one point, because it was so hard to finish it, I just thought like, you know, I'll just burn this Titanic down and build another sampan from scratch.
I mean, make sure you finish it, Cho, you know, promise.
Yeah, I spend way too much time, effort and money into this.
Yeah,
and I feel like the songs are my philosophy or my life. And I think it'll resonate with a lot of people.
Right.
So I would really want to put it out.
Yeah. It's all about what you leave behind at the end of the day, you know? Right. So just before we end this interview, right?
Yeah.
I would want to know, if you were to turn back time, right, and meet probably 17-year-old Tamilin, what would you tell her and what would you want her to do.
Make sure when you collaborate with someone, always have black and white.
Wait, what happened? What happened there?
That will be another episode.
Like, no. What happened there? We need to talk about this.
Mystery.
All right, then. All right. So, yeah, is there any particular advice that you want to give to any of our audience that are maybe looking forward to pursue the same career as you do? Yeah.
Always have an open mind in everything you do. I know sometimes you have a specific love for a certain genre or artist. You get very protective. Mm. But always open up your mind to... Because to be creative, you need to learn everything. You need to expose yourself to everything. Good, bad, and ugly.
Right.
And don't be ashamed of the bad experiences that you have gone through. Mm. As long as you have resurrected from it.
Right.
Because you are a stronger person and you can write about it next time. Yeah. And inspire others.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Powerful stuff from Jocelyn Stemmelin. Okay, last but not least, right? We know that your upcoming project is the album that you're about to release. But is there any upcoming show or any upcoming gig that you want to share with us on this particular episode?
Well, gigs for now is a bit hard because of the whole lockdown and SOPs. But I do have a song called Lactose on SoundCloud. You can just search for me at Stemmelin.
Right.
Or I can give the link. And please support it. Please have a listen. You can DM me on Stemmelin Instagram.
All right.
Tell me what you think about the song. Mm-hmm. I would really, really love some comments and feedback.
All right. That is it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for...
Thank you so much, Brandon.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us today, Joe.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Alright guys, as always, thank you so much for tuning in today. We really appreciate every single support that you could give to the show. It would mean the world to us if you could share it with at least one person and rate us on any single platform that you use to listen to our podcast on. And once again, thank you Stemmelin for joining us today. We really appreciate your attendance on this particular day, a wonderful day. We wish you all the best in your singing career. And we're gonna end this episode actually with one of her songs, her latest song, which is Lactose. So thank you so much for tuning in. I've been your host, Brad Latipa. We'll see you on the next one. Cultivating the Masses is a 100% audience-supported show. So don't forget to subscribe and rate our show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. Oh, by the way, don't forget to share it with your friends too. It would mean the world to me. Cultivating the Masses is a Renegade Radio original podcast. Be sure to visit rngdr.com. I repeat, rngdr.com to access the show notes and discover our other fantastic Malaysian-made podcasts. For more of us, we're at Cultivating Pod on all social media platforms. I've been your host, Brad Latipa, and this has been Cultivating the Masses. The rest of the team are Kelvin, Jess, and Jeff.